السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين صدق الله العظيم Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers and our sisters at the Madrasa and those listening over receivers. We are still continuing with some explanation of the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun. We have discussed some aspects of khushu in salat, the sifat, the attributes which will make a person succeed in this world, in the akhirat, which will make a person get the ultimate success, complete falah, or falah itself means complete success. I've explained that, and that can only be in Jannat, where there will be no pain, no suffering, no difficulty, no hardship, nothing. In this world there will be some kind of suffering, hardship and difficulty, but Allah Ta'ala will still give sukoon to the person who believes in Him and who has ta'alluq and nizbat with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have discussed some aspects of khushu in salat, some aspects of falah, and then also a little bit of discussion of what is lagh, some discussion of what is futile actions and deeds, and the harm of engaging and indulging in those actions which are futile. I received a letter from one person overseas. He must have picked up the bayan on the internet, and says that I was surprised that la yani, because we were always told tarke la yani, that we must give up that which is la yani, which is futile. So some women were told that when they are in the kitchen or at other times when they are alone, then they must do nothing but zikrullah. And especially when they are out in dini activity, then you must not discuss anything about your home or about your children or about your family. Now that was the gist of that letter, that a misunderstanding. So it cleared a misunderstanding that if you are talking cheerfully, happily with your children, with your wife, with the family, or so much so that even if a person has to be in business and during the hours of business he is promoting his products, he is going on and on talking about his product. A person is selling cars. Now when a person walks in and says that what are the features of this car, so he says, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. Now obviously that is zikrullah, but that is not the place for zikrullah. At that time, with the niyat that if I am going to be honest and truthful in my promotion of this vehicle, that whatever are the features, what are the good aspects of that car and what are the defects, if I am going to do that, then my Allah will become pleased and my transaction will become halal. then that will be ibadat at that time. At that time, subhanallah, alhamdulillah is not going to be ibadat. There is a place for subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and there is a place for worldly talk in inverted commas, but which is within the parameters of Sharia according to the Quran and Sunnah. So then that is ibadat at that time. As Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, that if a person is selling guavas, and the whole day while she is selling, is a poor person, he is struggling to make ends meet, and he is trying to earn halal for his children, he does not want them to be provided with any kind of haram. So he is making mujahada, he is trying his level best to make a few coins to support them. So now during the day, the person is on the pavement of some street or in some marketplace, and there he is shouting all the time, buy some guavas, it is for so much a dozen or so much a kilo. So then at that time, he's saying guavas, guavas, or mangoes, mangoes, or when it is a sardine run, then for him to shout sardine, sardine, then if he's doing it with the proper intention and niyat, then that will be tasbih of his. It'll be a tasbih, he'll get sawab of that, because his niyat on every sardine that he shouts is to get the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, that if I make a few rands, I can buy some food, take home, children can eat, I can pay my rent, light and water bills. So now at that time, that is ibadat. It's not layani. Layani, I explained, is when it's useless, futile, absolutely waste of good time. No benefit in this world, in the qabr and in the akhirat. So we discussed that to some extent. Then we went on to zakat. Now at this moment in time, it is ibadat to announce ND586572 to remove your car. Somebody is obstructed. Now at that time I say, no, tafsir must continue. At the end of the tafsir, I'm going to make this announcement. So at this moment, although it's tafsir of the Quran Sharif, of course people should not purposely to obstruct. But if the person is an outsider, or he somehow received a message or was unaware and somebody got obstructed, so then at that time to make that announcement that he must remove his car. And then for him to continue sitting and listening to the tafsir, that is also now an objectionable thing. Now imagine listening to the tafsir of the Quran Sharif, but then it will become objectionable. He will be sinful if he is obstructing somebody's driveway. Say somebody wants to take his child to the doctor, somebody wants to go to the to somewhere, and the person is obstructed. Somebody put his car outside his gate. So at that time, for the announcement to be made, interrupting the tafsir, and for that person to leave at that time the tafsir or that bayan that was, and to go and remove his car, both ibadat. Deen is, that's why Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, agar ghaus banna ho, kutub banna ho, wali banna ho, to kahin aur jao. See, everybody wants to become ghaus and kutub, they want to fly in the air and then go somewhere else. Agar insan banna ho to mere paas aao. Here we make you insan. Insan is one who does not cause others inconvenience, taklif, hardship, problem, and the person is following the Quran and Sunnah, he's fulfilling the rights of everyone, then that is insan. Otherwise haywan, he's a janwar after that. That's why my Hazrat says that if you look at the calendar also, then our calendar begins with Muharram, sacred. And the calendar of the Kuffar, it begins with January. Janwar. January says Janwari. So they behave like Janwars after that. So this zakat we were discussing, that one is the payment of zakat, which we know. That if a person has got certain amount of money, then he must give so much as zakat. For the other meaning there is of the purification of the soul, which we keep on hearing about. That this heart also needs a purification. So they purify their souls. Therefore in another verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he mentions, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. In fact, tonight in the namaz, Imam Sahib recited the same surah. Now look at that surah. That surah itself, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, take 7 qasams in that surah, which you just heard now in the Isha Namaz. Washamsi wa Zuhaha. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes 7 qasams. Washamsi wa Zuhaha. First of all, by the sun and its brightness. Now, duha is that time of the day when the sun has risen and it has brightened the whole earth, but at the same time, it is not so intense the heat that you cannot look at the sun. That is the time what we normally refer as chash time. That the sun has risen and it's now nice and bright. Everything that is around can be seen in the brightness of the sun. But at the same time, the heat of the sun is not so intense that you cannot look at the sun. Although what we have learned recently, someone claimed that they saw the Virgin Mary and everybody must look at the sun and the sun will be spinning. And what has happened is the people's eyes began spinning and many of them lost their sight. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes qasam by the sun and the brightness of that sun, the time of dua. And wal qamari iza talaha washamsi wa duhaha wal qamari iza talaha. And the moon when it follows it. And this especially can be observed when it's full moon, the 14th night. This side the sun is setting and that side the moon is taking over with its brightness. So the moon when it follows it. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. And the day when it brightens it, when it illuminates it, that means it illuminates the earth, the brightness of the day. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. And the night when it conceals it, it covers it up, that brightness which was there during the day, now the night came and it concealed it, it covered it up. Allah Ta'ala taking qasam. We are told to take qasam of none other than Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is haram for us to take other qasams. Qasam on people take, they say qasam on my son's head and my wife's life. They take qasams of different kinds. We are not allowed to take such kind of qasams. We must only take qasam in the name of Allah Ta'ala, and that too with great azmat. Only take it when there is great need to prove something. The person really has to take qasam to convince the other party that what he is saying is the truth and nothing but the truth. But our qasams are such, as I have mentioned many times, that in the court of law, both parties are told to swear the oath. So both parties raise their hands and say, I swear in the name of God, that whatever I'm going to say is the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Now there the person is even asking Allah for help. It's obvious one party is speaking a lie there. Both can't be speaking the truth. One knows definitely that he's a liar. And now what he's saying, oh Allah, help me in these lies that I'm now going to speak here. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So therefore qasam is not a joke. Many people have just made a joke of qasam. Everything is qasam, qasam. If the person is in the habit of taking qasam all the time, then people won't even believe that qasam of his when he's taking it sincerely. Like the person that was shouting, wolf, wolf, wolf. We heard in our class 1 or class 2 days that one person was used to shout, wolf, wolf. So everybody, all the farmers used to run and come outside and check where's the wolf. But he was speaking lies. Then one day when the wolf really came, so he was shouting, wolf, wolf, he says, he's speaking lies. He's always making this kind of a story that the wolf is coming, whereas there's no wolf. So nobody came out to see what's happening. So the wolf came and devoured him. Why? Because he was in the habit of shouting, wolf, wolf, and it was a lie. Now it may be just a story, but the lesson is that the person who will get into the habit of qasam, qasam, qasam over everything, so then the day he has to take a genuine qasam, and he takes it with sincerity and with ikhlas, people will say that person is in the habit of qasam, qasam all the time. Who's going to believe him? So we must take lessons from all these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take qasam of anything. He is the creator of everything. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, is taking qasam of the night when it conceals it. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, by the skies and the one who made it. Who made it? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The other meanings also, I'm just giving the simple meaning, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made the sky, so he's taking qasam by that, the sky and by the one who made it.
وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا.
And by the earth and the one who spread it. That means Allah Ta'ala is taking qasam in his own name. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala spread the earth. Who else spread the earth besides Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala?
وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا.
And by the soul and the one who proportioned it, the one who perfected it, is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who perfected it, who proportioned it.
فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا.
And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala inspired that soul with that which is evil and that which is its taqwa, that which is its piety for it, good for it. In other words, whatever is good for the person and whatever is bad for the person, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, Allah ta'ala sent his books, Allah ta'ala sent for guidance, so many things. And this person is then made to know that what is good and what is bad. What is good for his soul and what is bad for his soul. What will cause that soul to enjoy bliss and happiness, contentment, satisfaction, ma'rifat and nisbat of Allah Ta'ala, sukoon in this world and sukoon in the akhirat, peace, tranquility in the qabr and in the akhirat until leads him to jannat, Allah Ta'ala inspired. And that which takes the person to hellfire, that which causes the person to suffer problems in this world, in the qabr and in the akhirat, all that has been made known. After taking all these qasams, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Now, just to bring that as jawab of qasam, that why did Allah ta'ala take so many qasams? To show the importance of this tazkiyah of the qalb, of the purification of the soul, how important a position it holds in deen, and in the life of a person, that Allah Ta'ala takes seven qasams, and then he says that the person, just give you an explanation, that the person who has purified his soul, the person who has cleaned out his soul from all the evil qualities, and the person has made tazkiyah, then that is the person who has really succeeded. If you really want success, then there is only one way, and that is to purify the soul. Make tazkiyah of the soul. There we read, Umli zakati fa'ilun. Now here this is the tashri of that. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to purify the soul. You may recall some time back, I must have mentioned, that Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, he says, I was sleeping. But I just couldn't fall off to sleep. I was lying down, but I just couldn't fall off to sleep. Then I decided, all right, let me get up and read some Quran Sharif. I tried, but I just couldn't read. I said, let me make some zikrullah. I tried, I just couldn't make zikrullah. There was something that was holding me, and something that was telling me that go outside, go outside. And it happens. Sometimes a person just, he don't know why, but he doesn't know why, but he just wants to do a certain thing. So there was some kind of a force that was pulling him from the outside. So no matter what he tried to do inside, but it was not working, not having any effect. So then he put on his blanket. It was a cold night and he went outside. When he went outside, he found one person lying on the ground there, on the pavement, covered in a blanket. And as soon as the person saw him, he said, "Oh, so you are Abul Qasim, Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi's kunya." So he said, he recognized me, yet he didn't even open the blanket from his face. And he says, "You are Junaid Baghdadi," in other words. So he says, "How did you know that I am Junaid Baghdadi?" So he said, "I am the one that made dua to Allah Ta'ala that must send you here." He says, "I asked Allah Ta'ala to send you here." Must have been a very pious person, must have been a great wali, qutub, whatever he was. He says, "But I asked Allah Ta'ala to send you here." So he said, "Well, then you should have just sent somebody, knocked at my door or something, I would have come away. But I had to go through all this, that I couldn't make zikr, I couldn't make tilawat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't do anything, that's why I came outside. Any case, what is your problem?" He says, "No, there was a kind of a debate that was going on in my mind. And you are the only one who can solve the problem. There was a question cropping up in my mind. That when can the sickness of the nafs become its cure? That it's a sickness of the nafs. Some weakness of the nafs. Some disease of the nafs. The person is suffering from some disease of the nafs. He's got pride in him. He's got arrogance in him. He's got malice or greed in him. He's got jealousy in him. Now all these are diseases of the nafs." So he said, "Now when can these diseases themselves become the cure?" Now what a question. Who could have answered a question like that? That the disease itself must now become a cure. Although now in medicine and other things, they use lots of things, what they call it, the doctors, for the cure of diseases, they try and get something from that disease itself, some cell or some, I can't get the word, but in any case. So he said, "When can these diseases then become the cure?" So he said, "It can become a cure, is a halafatin nafsu hawaha." When that nafs disobeys or fights against that evil desire that has come, or that disease that has cropped up. Now it is in the nafs itself, but now the nafs itself is fighting that. It's opposing it. It's not allowing it to take root. Then it becomes a cure for that. In other words, the person's nafs, it was on the stage of what we may term as ammara bisu. The first stage where it goads a person, directs a person, leads a person towards haram, takes a person towards haram. Now that is one of the stages of the nafs. So now this person, when he was in that stage, so what he did is fought against those evil desires and evil khaheshat, his evil desires. So that now became either nafs lawwama, or then if he progresses, then it will become nafs mutmainna. So that same nafs opposed the evil desires, so it became a cure for those sicknesses. Now these are kalam of the awliya, which requires some kind of understanding and marifat, but it was a reply that only he could have given. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that that if you want success, then who is it, or which soul is it that can attain success or has attained success? They say, or which person can attain success? It is only that person who has purified his soul. He has purified, he has made tazkiyah. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in one dua, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha wa anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa maulaha." The Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the greatest after Allah, the one closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the one who was most pure, perfect. There was absolutely no weakness, no defect of any kind, either in his person or in his attributes. Greatest after Allah. La yumkinu sana kama kana haqquhu ba'das khuda wuzruktu yi qissa mukhtasar. And what is he saying? He's saying, "Oh Allah, aati nafsi taqwaha. Give my nafs its taqwa, its piety, that fear is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for taqwa. And then he's saying, oh Allah, purify this soul of mine. Purify this soul of mine. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. And you are the best of those who purify. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who is the most perfect person that was ever created in the world, he is going down to the level of abdiyat, the highest level of abdiyat. On the one hand is abdiyat, but on the other hand is the highest level of abdiyat, a true slave of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And here the word slave must not give us a wrong meaning. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, totally obedient, submitting to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in every action and every deed. No question of disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. His life was exactly that which is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha described. Said, what do you want to know about what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life was? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life was the Quran Sharif. Whatever the Quran Sharif ordered Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam practice, that was his life. But he is saying, Ya Allah, purify my nafs. For you are the best of those who purifies. So for whom was that? Was it for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Was he suffering from some kind of na'uzubillah, malice, greed, pride, arrogance, and all those weaknesses that we have in our hearts which we walk about with? Did he have any kind of weakness? He's teaching us a lesson that if I, as a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, enjoying such closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says that on one occasion Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, it was tahajjud time, and he didn't even recognize her. He said, who are you? He says, I'm Aisha. Which Aisha? Bint Abi Bakr, daughter of Abu Bakr. Which Abu Bakr? Son of Quhafa. Which Quhafa? He says, I got such a shock. Now that time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was so close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his meditation, in his muraqabah, that he didn't even recognize his wife. And this has happened in the lives of so many people. Sahaba-i-Kiram, Awliya-i-Siddiqeen. Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh says, when the postman came, they had to sign and collect some registered parcel. So they asked him to put his signature. Now he had just completed all his zikr and wazaif and everything. So he's asking Hakim Akhtar, what's my name? And I imagine asking what's his name. So sometimes they go on that high level. But they are conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ahkam. They don't disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They forget things of the world. But they don't forget the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, he didn't even recognize me. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whose taqwa level was so high. The world got its taqwa from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The sahaba kiram learned taqwa from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Any taqwa that you see anywhere in the world, from where did it come? Who was the ocean of taqwa? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from him taqwa flowed. And yet he is saying, Aati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha fa anta khayru man zakkaha. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا أَنْتَ وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَاهَا. You are its guardian and you are its master. What submission in this little dua that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making. But teaching us that your souls, your nafs, don't neglect it. Therefore it is said that agar ye farishta bhi ho jaye to isse badguma rehna. For us, the Anbiya are masoom, they are sinless, protected. But for us, even if our nafs becomes a farishta, starts making namaz, zikr, tilawat, ibadah, stays away from TV, movie, discos, rave clubs, then too we must be on guard. We don't know when this snake of the nafs will bite. So success will depend on that, the purification of this nafs. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And that person is destroyed. The person who has buried taqwa under his feet, in inverted commas. That the person who has disobeyed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person who has been negligent, heedless, the person who has got no taqwa in his life, then that is the person who is at a loss. That is the person who has destroyed himself. That is the person whom you can say is going to face destruction in the qabr, in the akhirat, because he did not purify his soul. He gave in to the desires of his nafs. And if you look at the ayat of the Quran Sharif, which you have listening many, many times, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. It is the same thing, the purification of the soul. That the person who feared standing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, accounting for his actions and for his deeds. What did you do in your life? What did you do with your youth? What did you do with the wealth that I gave to you? How did you spend your time? How did you spend all my bounties that I have blessed you with? Different kinds of questions will be posed to the person. Now that person is afraid, he's concerned that I have to stand before my Allah and answer for all these actions of mine. So this concern of his made him restrain himself from his khayishat and nafsaniya, from those desires which were against the will and the desire of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the one who has polluted his nafs, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, the one who has polluted his nafs, who has corrupted his nafs, then that person will go to Jahannam. And the person who purified his nafs and purified his soul, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ, then Jannat is the abode of that person. I've just given the gist and just the meaning, it's not the translation. So what we learn from here is that it is just as important to know about the nafs as it is important to know about other ibadat. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that just as it is farz and just as it is wajib to know about namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, in the same way it is wajib, it is farz, that the person must know the deceptions of his nafs. This nafs can deceive a person in many, many ways. If a person is engaging in some kind of haram, and somebody tells him that this is a haram action, so now the nafs will think up ways of justifying it. Try and twist and turn the meanings of ayat of the Quran Sharif. If you look at what is happening around the globe now, that just to satisfy the nafs, one was to say that, all right, it's my weakness, make dua, Allah Ta'ala get me out of this weakness. That was understandable. It was something that was expected of a human being, he made a mistake. And the other is, now you'll search for some ayat of the Quran Sharif, some hadith Sharif, twist the meaning, change the meaning, and then justify that evil action and evil deed. As I was explaining, I think, last week, that those people who want to justify their running of the marathon, sandwiched between women folk on either side, and the nakedness and nudity that is there, and those people that watch all those things. So now when you tell them, they said, but didn't we realize Salatu Islam says you must keep your body fit and healthy? Now is that the only way to keep the body fit and healthy? That's why I said that when the marathon runners are running from Pietermaritzburg to Durban, so to keep your body fit and healthy, you must run from Durban to Pietermaritzburg on the other side of the road. There will be no congestion, to no traffic obstruction, and you will reach peacefully on the other side, or reach peacefully the Qabristan, one of the two things. So, and when you talk about swimming, now they're going and swimming there in the gala and in the swimming pool with all the ladies and the nudity that's around. They said, didn't Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say that you must swim? Alcohol, wine, brandy. See, we took out the alcoholic content from there, so it became a halal beer now. So what's wrong with drinking it? Music, the names have been changed. Now to justify that which is haram, you'll find some kind of hadith sharif, twist the meaning and justify it. So that's what we mean by corrupting the nafs. So then those people, they must prepare themselves for the fire of hell. So it's not that Allah Ta'ala wants to send people to the fire of hell. What enjoyment and fun and pleasure will Allah Ta'ala get in sending to the fire of hell? If that was His desire, then He shouldn't have revealed the Quran Sharif and sent the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But it is to give us a lesson, or to that Allah Ta'ala has inspired the nafs with both that which is evil and that which is permissible. Now it is left to the individual that he must choose one of the two ways. Allah Ta'ala is not going to force him, because if everybody was forced to do that which is right, then there is no question of test, there is no examination, then everybody would have been going to Jannah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made this world a world of test. We are given a willpower. We are shown the both routes. This road leads to Jahannam, this one to Jannah. And now we have to make that little effort. There have been people who with one nazar of some wali, they reached somewhere. But those people also made some effort first. There was something that they did. After that, that nazar also helped them. Nigahe wali ki ye taaseer dekhi, badalte hazaro ki taqdeer dekhi. So then whose nazar could have been greater than the nazar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then all these people, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and all those who were opposing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and deen and sharia, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam nazar would have changed them. But because they were arrogant, their hearts were filled with hasad and malice, and they were not prepared to accept because of that same weakness of their nafs. So then even that nazar did not help, because they themselves were not interested. And other people with the dua, sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala changes that person. But in the heart of that person, there must have been some goodness that leads them to that. Many a person who has changed, somewhere along the line, the person had that kind of feeling of shame that had come into his heart and had become desirous of a change, but did not find the route to change, so remained in that state that he was. And then somehow Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because of that little desire that came, someday Allah ta'ala just puts him into the right majlis or the right program or the tabligh jamaat or listens to some bayan or somewhere, and the person comes right. But they must, the one person was passing by the palace and he was an Allah wala. So everybody that was following there, so the king also from the top of his palace, he said, what's happening down here? He said, no, one Allah wala is going. So he said, send him up. Now in those days from the palace, from the top, so he just sent, he used to have that basket kind of thing, he used to jump inside, that was the lift of those days. So we will say it in our times, the person was told, get into the lift. So when he got into the lift, then he pressed one button. I'm talking about now the 20th century. I'm not talking about those palaces of those days. So he got into the lift and he pressed the button and he was right up on whichever floor that the king was residing. So then the king asked him, he said, that how did you reach Allah? That I see so many people outside here following you and... So he said, how did you reach Allah? He said, I reached Allah just like how I reached you. He said, how did you reach it? What does that mean? He says, I got into the lift and pressed a button and I came way up. So how you called me up like that? In those days with that basket they used to pick the person up. He said, just like that, Allah Ta'ala picked me up with His jazb. So that does not mean now that this Allah Wala reached that king from his house without making any effort. His house, wherever it was, a few kilometers away in some village, but he took a walk, he came right through, came up to the palace, entered the lift, then he pressed the button, then that lift took him up. So that is what we mean by suluk, that we have to make some namaz, some roza, some zakat, some hajj, be good, be kind, be charitable, be honest, be truthful. be polite, be forgiving, be large-hearted, do all those things, and then make dua, ya Allah, all these amal of mine cannot really make me reach you. Now with your power of jazb, pull me towards you. Then you see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will take the person so quickly and make him a wali Allah. Because he has made the effort, he has come up to the lift, now he's pressing the button, Allah ta'ala will take him up. So just sitting and relaxing and expecting that now we're going to go way up, it can happen. But that will be the karamat of the person. And we do. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he wants us to become his, and he wants us to purify this nafs. That's why I say it's easy in these days to go and shoot a lion. Take a gun and go to Kruger Park and go and shoot one lion, it's easy. Shoot an elephant, it is easy. Look at those big, big elephants. How they dart them, and after that they transport them from one place to another. So it's easy to shoot a lion, shoot an elephant. But to shoot this lion of the nafs, it's very difficult. Agar Allah walo se nahi dil ki dawa paata, bahut mushkil tha nafs se sarkash ko daba paata. If only the Allah wala's sohbat and the Allah wala's company and the Allah wala's nasihats and the Allah wala's environment, if we didn't get the medication from there, then he says it was extremely difficult for me to have suppressed this evil nafs of mine. That is the only place that you get some kind of spiritual upliftment. The hearts become desirous of gaining Allah in the life. And when the person listens to the life stories of those Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, the Sahaba kiram, Tabi'in, 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 the Awliya, then the heart also becomes desirous that if they enjoyed such kind of qanaat in their lives, they enjoyed sukoon in their lives, they enjoyed tranquility, every moment and every breath they were with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And when we were on a high on drugs, which was destroying our life and our wealth and our reputation and respect, all they required was just Allah, 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 Allah.
Nahi khatm hoti hai mauje musalsal, nahi khatm hoti hai mauje musalsal, mere bahare gham ka kinara nahi hai. Siwa tere koi sahara nahi hai, siwa tere koi hamara nahi hai. Samandar ka sahil, pahado ka daman, bajuz aah ke kuch hamara nahi. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رحيم يا كريم يا ستار الغيوم غفار السموم الله ہم گنہگار ہے سیاکار ہے بدکار ہے مجرم اور خطاکار ہے سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے My beloved Allah My most tolerant Allah Most compassionate Allah Most loving Allah Caring Allah Most beautiful Allah. We have extended our begging bowls before you. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. My beloved Allah, by distancing ourselves from you, we have gained nothing but restlessness, anxieties and worries. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance. Oh my beloved Allah, clean and purify our hearts. There is no one that can purify them besides you. Oh my beloved Allah, we are turning towards you. Become ours and make us yours. Ya Allah, forgive our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members and ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, all the problems in the world are because our hearts have become corrupt. Our hearts have become polluted. Ya Allah, we have not made tazkiyah of our qulub. We are turning towards you, my beloved Allah. We are seeking from you. All power lies with you.
with your power of jazm make us yours. We are extremely weak servants of yours. Ya Allah, we have tried and tried. We make tawbah and break our tawbah. We make tawbah and break our tawbah. But my beloved Allah, we are desirous of becoming yours. Ya Allah, we want to become your walis. We want to become your friends. Ya Allah, we want to be obedient to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, with your power of jazm, make us yours. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Nafs o shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mujhko tabao. Ey mere maula, meri madad kar, chahta hoon main teri panao. Ey mere maula, meri madad kar, chahta hoon main teri panao. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. The best of dunya and akhirat. Protect us from all the fitnas that are around us. Protect us, my beloved Allah, from the hasad of the hasidin, from the fitnas of the fitteen. Ya Allah, protect us from the fasad and mischief of the mischief makers. My beloved Allah, there is no one that can protect us besides you. Ey mere Allah, agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Ya tu mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Cure each and every one who is sick and ailing. Cure lies in your hands, my beloved Allah. Whether they are in hospitals, in clinics, in homes, or amongst us, whosoever is sick and ailing, Ya Allah, cure them of all ailments, sicknesses and diseases. So many have undergone operations. So many are due to go for operation. So many have met up with accidents. So many are suffering from other kinds of sicknesses. Ya Allah, sabko shifa ata farma. Don't test us, my Allah. We know that sometimes it can be a mercy, but we are extremely weak. Change the mercy of sickness to the mercy of good health. Change the mercy of weakness to the mercy of strength. Change the mercy of poverty to the mercy of wealth. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our lives. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives. My beloved Allah, unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of family members and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, protect the Haramain Sharifain, protect Masjid Al-Aqsa, remove the difficulties and problems of the Palestinians, of the Muslims in Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia, Sudan, all parts of the world. Ya Allah, let the winds of Hidayat blow throughout the continents, bless everyone with Iman and Islam. Oh my beloved Allah, when the time of our death comes, take us to Madinah Tayyibah. Kaash Madinah ab mera watan hota, wahi jeeta, wahi marta, wahi koro kafan hota. Ya Allah, bless us with burial in Baqi. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayr khalqihi sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.